Open your Bibles tonight to Romans chapter 8, and I know we always think about that very famous and wonderful, incredible verse in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We often get to that verse and we like to kind of maybe pick it out right of the chapter and to consider it, but thought tonight, you know, going back to really 10 verses back and think, well, why do things work together? And in what situation is Paul talking about in which things do work together for our good? So I want to start back in verse number 18 and to discuss a few things. I've always been drawn to this passage many times. We think about it because very familiar here. In this passage, there's three different types of groanings that are going on. Three different types of groanings. And I know you've seen them before, but I wanted to talk about them a little bit tonight and encourage you in that regard. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So right off the bat, we're beginning a context of suffering. So yes, all things work together for good to them that love God, but many times in the difficult times of life, we tend to forget that a little bit. We don't understand how God is going to work these things for us. And if you think about verse number 18, there's a comparison there. I remember studying, and when I first started teaching science, we used to talk about the old cost-benefit analysis. I wish our government would use the cost-benefit analysis a little bit more. Does the benefit outweigh the cost? You know, we talked about a lot of different studies that were done, and the government will pour tons of money into, you know, changing the pollution output of a vehicle. But what is the cost to that versus the benefit and all those kind of things? Well, here as a Christian, there's a little cost-benefit analysis that we can do. We're going to be suffering here, and yes, we can reckon, or literally means to calculate or to look at a bunch of different sides and to calculate what's going on and to reach a conclusion. So I when I grew up, we always said, I reckon, a little Southern word maybe, but that's not the I reckon that Paul is talking about here. He's saying, let's calculate what we have here, and let's calculate the sufferings that we have in this present time. And yeah, that may cost, and it may hurt, and there may be some pain in the present world. But let's then compare that to the end of the verse, the glory that's going to be revealed. The benefits far outweigh the cost in that regard. Continue on, and we'll look at another verse in a minute. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There's hope to look forward to. Yes, there might be some suffering here, but let's calculate, let's step back and consider. There's a little bit of suffering going on, and yeah, this world and the hardships that come up in life, they get drearisome and they get discouraging, and you kind of plod through life a little bit here and there, and trials keep coming up, but that's nothing. The cost is minimal when you compare it to what the Lord is doing for us. Hold your finger there and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I love this verse. Just a few pages over. We're in the middle of Romans. Just go over to the end of Romans and flip a couple more pages, and you'll be at the beginning of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse number 9. Maybe you know this verse. Again, we may suffer some here, and there's hardships, and there's a fallen, sinful world, but it's nothing compared to what the Lord's doing. Verse 9 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. We can't even think in our hearts and minds to comprehend this. The things which God hath prepared for who? Them that love Him. Let's do a little cost-benefit analysis, if you allow me to use that terminology. Let's reckon, let's calculate and consider, yes, here's the world that we have to trudge through and make it through, and the suffering and all the things that happen, and persecution perhaps here and there, and the attacks of Satan and all that go on here, and the hardships of life because we're in sin and we're fallen. That's not God's fault and God's problem. We're fallen. We live in a sin-cursed world, and we're a fallen creature. But the Lord is preparing for us things that we cannot even comprehend. And so let's compare, Paul says back in Romans, what we're doing now, the suffering of the present time versus the glory that's going to be revealed. And that glory, of course, through Christ and through the redemption that He has wrought for us. And of course, as we wait for that, it's yet future. It's going to be revealed. There's suffering now. There's waiting. There's expecting and waiting for things to happen. In other words, the idea here in verses 18 through 20, the earnest expectation of the creature that we are waiting for the delivery of bondage. We're waiting to get out of this sin that has been brought into us. So that's while we wait, there's going to be, again, problems. There's going to be suffering in this world. There's groaning that is mentioned three times in these verses. And I wanted to just touch on those three things in our last 10 or 15 minutes to encourage your hearts tonight. First of all, in verse number 22, as we're waiting for this expectation, in verse 22, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The idea there that all of the creation, everything that God has created, again, what is it under? It's under the curse of sin. And we could go back and study, you know, the curses that God brought and the things like that back in the book of Genesis. But creation is groaning. The idea there in that verse, it mentions it travailing in pain is used often in the pain of childbirth. Of course, I don't know what it's like. I'm not a woman. I've never birthed a child, but I've been in the delivery room. And I stayed up there near where Megan was. I had no desire to go anywhere beyond where Megan was up here. And I was about to pass out myself. So I'm kind of weak at that kind of stuff. And but I know from the way that my wife squeezed my fingers and melted them together that she was probably in a lot of pain. Not probably, she was in a lot of pain. And, you know, they have all these medications you can take now and things like that, but we never really did those kind of things. And it's painful and it's travail, but you know something, hopefully. You know that it's just temporary, right? The woman is hoping, I'm going to deliver this child and then the pain's going to be gone and the happiness of the blessedness of this child. Kind of a very similar analogy here that the creation is travailing and groaning, and it's almost as if the creation knows there's coming a day where we're going to be delivered from this bondage of sin. You know it's temporary. Now, I know maybe creation can't think that way, but that's kind of the idea there, that it is a temporary thing. We're going to look at several passages tonight, and keep your finger in Romans when we do that, but flip back to 2 Peter chapter 3. Maybe some of you know right off this passage of what it refers to. 2 Peter chapter 3. I always like to tell the kids in school that, you know, I get off topic sometimes, believe it or not. And I get onto the government a little bit, which, I don't know, takes a lot of my time. But I would talk about climate change because, in my opinion, it's a lie. And I tell the kids in school, I say, you know what? There is climate change going to happen. But who's in charge of it? God is. I love these verses here in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, verse number 10. The day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. God's gonna burn things up. He's going to increase the temperature if that satisfies the climate change people. I don't know. Global warming, they used to call it, but I guess they're trying to be more politically correct and they only think climate change to make it more sensitive or something. But we'll get off that topic. But the Lord's going to do some work on this earth. He's going to melt the elements with fervent heat. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things are going to be dissolved, what manner of person should we be? Verse 12, looking for and hasting to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. God is going to renew His creation. He's going to purge it. He's going to get rid of all that curse of sin that's been bringing the groaning and the travail and the pain to creation. Verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, the Lord promises this, we look not just for new heavens, but also a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. That sin is gone. That old curse is gone. Old Satan, he's in the lake of fire. It's over for him. And sin is taken care of. And the Lord's going to renew the creation that right now is groaning back in the book of Romans chapter 8. It's groaning and travailing together, almost waiting and expecting and hoping for that day of delivery to come for the creation. And again, it's because of the sin of man, the sin of man. Now let's go on to verse number 23. Not only is creation groaning back in Romans chapter 8, We know that the whole creation groaneth. But look at verse 23. Not only they, the creation, but notice something else is groaning. But ourselves also. Now, who is he talking to? Not all people necessarily, but notice it's a very specific group of people which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We as God's people, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. You know, I think sometimes we don't fully as believers understand what God has for us. It pales to what is going on here. And sometimes we don't groan in this world because we love it too much. And we're just going on normal life. And we need to stop and be considering this. Sure, the Lord's blessed us on this earth. I mean, you just think about the wonder of His creation and all the things we get to enjoy in this life. That's His grace and mercy to us. But it is nothing compared to what God is doing for us in heaven. That we get to be before the throne of God to see our Savior, to praise His name and to glorify Him for all of eternity in a place that He's prepared for us. And I know I don't like to get off on the, you know, I've got all these Southern gospel hymns and all this stuff that get off on what God's, I'm going to walk them streets of gold and I'm going to get to my mansion. I know the Lord's going to have stuff up for us, and that's wonderful. He's preparing a place for us. And we've got the mansions there, yes. But stop thinking, sometimes we emphasize too much of what I'm going to get in heaven. It's not what I'm going to get in heaven. It's what the Lord is there. And I get to be with my Savior fully restored in a relationship to Him that sin had broken. And all that's going to be taken care of through Christ, where I have a relationship with God, the Father, the Creator God. Boy, what? We ought to be groaning, begging, Lord, I can't wait to be eternally with You. And it's a grief as a believer to have to go through this sin-cursed world. Now, God's put us here, and we can have purpose here, and we can have ministry here, and we can serve our God on this sin-cursed earth, but we groan, don't we? And we have to deal with our physical body and the problems that come up, and I'm not even 40 yet, but I know there's problems coming. You know, first goes your hair and then everything else. Brother Paul always tells me, oh, just wait till you get to my age. Old age isn't for sissies, Mr. O'Pager used to say. So, groaning in the body and all these things that happen, and you get sick and you get older and you get tired and weaker and all those things that happen, and we're just groaning. And it's not just physical, though. This world causes spiritual groaning. When you think about what God has for us, well, we should live with that anticipation, shouldn't we? We should pray and hope our Lord will return at any moment to deliver us from this bondage and to give us that redemption right there in verse 23 of our body, to have a glorified body, a body fit for eternal service to our Savior, to glorify Him through all the ages. You know, we get our eyes on this earth, and sometimes we kind of enjoy it, don't we? And we're not really groaning that much. Well, maybe we aren't serving the Lord like we should. But here, to compare what this world is to what our Father has for us, we're groaning in it. Lord, I cannot wait to be with You. Ephesians, I'll just read a couple verses here. It says that this groaning, just listen to this verse. It says the groaning is for those that have the first fruits of the Spirit. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, we know this verse. In whom you trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment, the foretaste, until the redemption. Where are the first fruits? We're just getting a little foretaste of what God has for us. I don't know what you want to say, feelings or whatever, of the Lord cleansing your heart, of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, of the Holy Spirit guiding you on this earth, that is just a little sample, tiny little sample of our future in heaven. That's just the down payment. That's not even, you know, if you want to put it in, I've always thought when I hear down payment, I think about a car. That's just not the down payment. That's the whole car, if you want to put it that way. It's all of the Holy Spirit It's the Lord in His fullness and an unhindered relationship with Him. We've just gotten a little sample, and we're groaning, Lord, because we've tasted it. We've tasted it, and we want to know You fully for that eternity in heaven. Let's continue on, though. Hebrews chapter 6, I thought about this verse. I'll read it to you before we move on to our third thing as our time is winding down. Again, we're groaning, but we've got a hope. And the reason why we're groaning is because we know what God has for us, and we've got to make it through this earth and serve our Lord, but it's troublesome many times. Chapter 6 of Hebrews says this, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show us the heirs of promise, the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath." Notice here in verse 18, "We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." We've got a hope now. "Which hope," verse 19, "we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus." Christ has already taken care of everything. He's paid for the redemption, and we have a hope in that, that I don't have to stay in this earth. I don't have to stay in this physical body of pain and dust that is cursed. But I've got a hope, something that is the anchor of my soul, steadfast and sure. And I can look forward to that with Christ in heaven. So yes, we're groaning, but what a hope we have in our Lord. Verse 24, "For we are saved by hope," chapter 8 of Romans, "but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Wait patiently. You know, it's almost like there's no hope if you already see it before you. There's nothing to hope for. You know, kids are, you know, all of us really, we anticipate things. You know, I remember kids especially, they like anticipating a birthday maybe or Christmas, and they anticipate and hope, well, maybe I'll get something from mom and dad or my grandma or something. Well, if the gift is already out there, not wrapped, just sitting under the tree waiting for Christmas, they have to sit there and stare at it every day. That's not really much hope. But if they don't know what they're going to get, oh, I'm hoping for something, you know. Well, that's kind of the idea. We haven't seen. Remember we read in Corinthians? Eye can't see, and ear can't hear, and our heart can't even comprehend what God has prepared for us. We can't see it, but that's what our hope is, and we're to wait patiently for it. Now, third groaning here is in verse number 26. Not just creation and not just Christians, but I love this verse, verse 26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." I was thinking about that this afternoon again, and it just kind of hit me. We pray, and yes, we pray in the Lord's will, and we ask the Lord for things, and we pray for His will to be done, but we don't know what we should pray for. But who does? The Spirit of God does. And it says, He maketh, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, for you in this room right now, with groanings that man can't utter. Man can't express them. Man can't put words to them. "And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." We pray, Lord, for Your will to be done, but we don't really many times know what that will is, but who does? The Holy Spirit. And He can take our feeble prayers that we offer, that we are trying to ask the Lord for things, and we may be asking for things that God doesn't want to answer, or God doesn't want us to have in the way that we think we should have. But the Holy Spirit takes our feeble prayers, and He groans and intercedes in a way that we can't comprehend. And that is why we can come to verse 28. That is why all things work together for good. We don't know what goodness God has for us. We don't know what to ask for, and we pray and we ask for things, but God's Spirit does. And He is interceding for us. And so while we suffer, and while we're groaning, and while we often don't know how to pray in those situations, God's Spirit is taking our insecurities and what we don't know how to say, and He's bringing that before the Father, and He's interceding in behalf of God's will. He knows the will of the Father, and He's praying and interceding according to the will of God. And that is why we can sit back and say, "Lord, I can rest knowing that all things work together for good. Why? Because I'm great, mighty, and wonderful, and I can work things out? No. We're groaning through this life, and we're groaning in a creation that is also groaning, and we're waiting for that redemption, and we're looking forward with hope. But the Holy Spirit's also groaning and interceding for us at this very moment, according to the will of God, so that while these groanings are happening and while we're suffering, the Holy Spirit is working these things out. And He's interceding and He's praying and He knows God's will. And God is able to work things for His plan, His purpose. That's what's good. Goodness is God's plan. Goodness is God's purpose. And for you, His people tonight, yes, we're groaning in creation. We're groaning in this body, but the Holy Spirit's groaning for us so that all things work together for good. God's plan, God's purpose. Father, thank You so much for Your greatness tonight. Lord, we live in a terrible, sin-cursed and problematic world, and we have an old, sinful, physical body that decays and has problems, and we've got to deal with the world, and we've got to deal with attacks of Satan, and we've got all these issues and sufferings, and Lord, help us not to focus on those things. And yes, it does cause groaning, and it causes problems in our minds sometimes, but Lord, help us to think of the glory that is yet to be revealed. We thank You, Father, that You are preparing things for those that love You. What an incredible thing to consider. So, Father, I pray that as we walk through this earth, our minds would be fixed rather on those things, on the hope that we have in through our Savior of what the Father is doing. We thank You that the Holy Spirit is groaning and interceding for us because He knows the will of God, and the will of God is good, and the plan and purpose of God is good. And You're generous and merciful, Father, to work those good things out for Your people. And we praise You for that. We ask You to encourage our hearts in this regard. Help us to walk with You the rest of this week and to, Lord, go through, yes, the responsibilities that we have and the earth that we live in, but to do it with joy and patience, knowing that we serve a great Father. Pray these things now in Christ's name, asking Your blessings. Amen. Lord bless you tonight.